Hey everyone, this is Stelly FD.
And Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode of The Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to get started blogging for your SaaS product.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
And we want you to do your best.
So basically, I think you and I both get asked a lot. Both you and I have done a lot with blogs and blogging in order to promote our businesses and grow them. And I think that there's a lot of people that are getting into SaaS, that are building a product or service, and that are at the beginning of asking themselves, how can we start promoting this more? And let's launch or start a blog is a very...
It's a common thought.
It's on many people's and businesses' list of things to do. But I think that a lot of people don't quite know how to get started. Not so much on the like which blogging tool to use, but more on the...
Yeah, you use WordPress. Self-hosted.
Yes, there you go.
That's an easy one.
But then what do we write about? Yeah. How do we write? How frequently do we write? How do we get anybody to look at this
writing?
What
about should I start a blog or not?
I love that.
Like when to start.
Let's start with that one. So what's the advice that you would typically give in who should start a blog and when they should start a blog? I think the when is the easier one, but
okay, go for it.
So I think when is as potentially if you're the right type of person, this is the right type of business, even sooner than the moment you think of the business, you should start
business idea.
The business idea, yeah, you should start writing about the thing you're trying to do or write about the industry or the customer or the problem before you even launch the product.
Right. So the only caveat I'll have, which I would say 90%, so 90 plus percent of the people would probably fall in your category for sure, where like the best tactic they can use to start their SaaS business is start blogging.
Yeah.
Like I'll even go that far.
Yeah.
There's a 10% that's like, if there's a better way for you to get early customers or early conversations, you might want to go do that first before you do the blogging, and you might realize you don't need to do the blogging. For example, like if you have access to the customer base because you're part of an association, or you know, if you're a doctor and you're building tools for doctors, well, you know a lot of other doctors, so you probably don't need to blog as much in the beginning because you can already have the conversations. Because the goal in the beginning, if you just have the business idea and that's the phase, is to validate the idea. And the way you do that is by actually talking to prospective future customers, right? I mean, it's just customer development, all that stuff everyone's doing, but it's really just talking to people to see if the idea is any good. And there's ways to do that, right? So what I really loved is that one of our product manager at Kissmetrics, when he left, he started blogging a lot. And he was blogging about, I'm trying to remember, he did a whole download for me. I think it was Bitcoin. Yeah, I think it was Bitcoin. And he's a product manager, so he's like very thorough and like really deep. And I think he put a whole bunch of cards on his wall and did the whole product process just on the whole Bitcoin market, right? Was it Bitcoin? Damn it. Whatever it was, let's just say it was Bitcoin. I don't think it was, but anyways. And what he was doing was he was actually blogging and about it and about what he's going to do. And then he had an opt-in form at the bottom, like, you want to stay up to date on what I'm working on and what I'm doing in this industry here. Right.
Yeah.
Actually, it was 3D printing.
There you go.
And he was able to explain the whole landscape to me, right? But he did all the research, understood that, and then he started blogging after a little bit of understanding. But then along the way, like, people started considering him an expert in 3D printing in like within 2 or 3 months by him just blogging about the fact that he's interested in the space, not even an idea in it.
Yeah.
He figured out that it wasn't interesting to him and there wasn't an opportunity the way he wanted to do it. But man, like the affinity he built, the communications, the relationships, even all the access he had to people just because he was blogging about 3D printing.
Yeah.
So the thing is, that was at a time when like that was something many folks were talking about, right? And it was very timely for him to blog about it. So if you have an idea in an industry that's very timely right now, like on-demand economy, maybe not, but like, you know, and you're going to do something in that space, you could blog about it right now and you would still get attention because it's still being funded and Uber's still interesting, right? So I think you have to think about, is it a timely thing for me to blog about where I'm going to get enough attention where like I can go convert that into email subscribers? And that also means you need enough content right from the beginning, which usually is just talking about the industry. That usually works.
To me, I like that example because it points to something that I care a lot about and advice that I give, which is find a voice that resonates. So the interesting thing about here in this example is that this dude was not like a world authority in 3D printing, and he didn't try to project himself as one, right? But what he did is he did something that was very authentic, but something that a lot of people could associate with, which is, hey, I'm a dude working in tech, I'm a product manager, and I'm wondering, is 3D printing a big thing that I should invest my future career in? So I want to look and analyze the market and understand it better. That's a...
And then you just started blogging about it.
Yes. That's a voice to me that is both authentic, and it resonates because I'd imagine a lot of other people in tech that had nothing to do with 3D printing were hearing about it a lot and wondering about it and thinking, how can I learn more? So now he took them on his journey, and it was a journey they wanted to go on anyways.
I gotta say, if you have a trendy market like that, it is the best tactic I've seen. And he did a brilliant job, I think, doing that and building affinity fast. I think he had hundreds of people on the email list.
Yeah.
They were reading his stuff, and he learned everything he wanted to and decided not to do the whole business in a matter of 3 months. And that's a while, but he was exploring.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, and that's a common, I think, that also points to a common mistake, which is a lot of times people, they will start blogging and they will look at their competition, for instance, and say, hey, I want to build a marketing product. I have a marketing SaaS product. Kissmetrics seems to be very successful and writing lots of blog content. HubSpot seems to be successful.
So I should do that too.
Now,
but that's a crowded category.
Oh, I mean,
immediately, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, hey, wait, that's really crowded right now.
Yes. So to me, that means, do you have a voice that stands out? Because if you don't, it's not worth doing at all.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to write content like Kissmetrics on your own blog and be the same, it's not going to help. Even Kissmetrics doesn't write content like HubSpot.
Yeah.
Even Unbounce doesn't write content like Kissmetrics, right? And all these are all marketing tools.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. Everyone has a point of view, right?
Yeah.
And like, I really like that.
Because
that doesn't make you not go after a crowded like category, right?
Yes.
It makes you think about it in a thoughtful way.
I think Closeout and my company is a great example of getting into the most crowded place possible.
Yeah.
And
absolutely. Yeah, we tried and we got away from it, CRM.
Yeah.
And it's
so crowded.
I agree.
But we had a lot of unfair advantages, and we knew that we had a very strong voice. We knew that we had a very strong point of view, and we knew that we knew a shit ton about sales. So
that other people needed to hear about it and didn't know.
Didn't know. And when we looked at other people's blogs, we thought, no, we can't find any of them that mirrors what we want to do.
You probably didn't do this, but like, did you go write the blog post and then try to understand if other people have written stuff without publishing it?
No.
What I mean is like, I don't mean even that. What I'm saying is you still had a point of view on what kind of content you wanted to create.
Yeah.
And then you saw that didn't exist. Did you write it down at all? I'm just curious. Or it was just like an intuitive. Whatever,
it was very
exercise.
Intuitive at that point. But you know.
Imagine like somebody here, like, because we do that, but we were doing it the same way. Like we would look at marketing and be like, oh, we can write really long, comprehensive things at Kissmetrics, and it'll be a differentiator in the market if all of our content's like that.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what we did. But now that's the trend, right? Long, deep content.
Yes.
So now doing that is not unique. But in our category at the time when we were doing it, HubSpot's content wasn't up to par for advanced customers.
Yeah.
Right. And so we had an opportunity there.
Yes.
Right now it is, but early on it wasn't. So, but we never quantified it and put it on paper, but I wish we had.
Mm.
That's why I'm kind of harping on this, which is like, I think if we had done that, then we would have had an analysis of why we thought the opportunity was right for us.
Mm.
So my recommendation to people today would be like, try to find examples of the kind of content you want to create and see if you can. That's an easy way without even thinking about it too much.
Yeah.
But once you figure that out, that, oh, I think there's an opportunity, then start writing down what kind of content pieces you think are an opportunity to build a voice.
Yeah.
Right?
So, all right. So the next – so let's say somebody what other things? So we talked about, is it timely and trendy? We talked about, do you have a point of view?
Yeah.
Is there other criteria? Are there certain markets or customers that will not – obviously that will not
– lawyers. I don't think you can do blogging for lawyers unless it's like how to be a better lawyer. But does a lawyer want to know how to be a better lawyer? No, their job is to tell you how to do stuff. So lawyers is the example I use commonly.
Huh.
That's why it just came into my head. I'm like, because like I had to think about this. Because I thought about doctors. I'm like, actually, doctors love content.
Yeah.
Right? They've got new drugs, new methods, new procedures. They even love YouTube, the especially the residents and stuff like that. So doctors, you could do blogs for doctors. You can do content for doctors, no problem.
Yeah.
Lawyers, you'd have to do a lot of like – rules, regulations, updates, and it's not the same. It's not the same as having a voice. That's you can do it. So if you're a if you're doing like a legal product and it's in a niche, right? It's around like class action lawsuits. I hope nobody does this, but software for class action lawsuits. I've had a few, or no, not a few, one at my company. But if you build software for class action lawsuits, right? That's a niche. You can blog about class action lawsuits all day, and all the class action lawsuit lawyers will probably come and read your blog about class action lawsuits, right? That you could do, but that's so nichified that it would work in a niche. But yep. As a generic lawyer, I don't think it's a blog. Yep. That's the kind of content. Do I believe there's content for them? For sure. But I don't think it's a blog.
All right. So that's a good example.
And that's my opinion. But, yeah, but you know, so I don't think they're reading blogs for their profession. So you have to think about it. Are they reading for their profession? Are they reading blogs to learn? Yeah. Is actually a key thing I try to figure out.
Is my customer reading blogs?
Yeah. And if not, can I get them to? Yeah. If so, well, go. Like, yeah, start, yeah, please, yeah, yeah, you yeah. know?
So, okay, so let's say...
And I don't think people think about that. Will people read what I write? Are they reading things like this already? If so, it's more likely they'll do this.
Yeah.
They'll come to a blog.
And now, right? Now somebody might think, well, how do I know? Well, you should talk to the type of people you want to have buy your software
blogs?
Anyways.
Do you read blogs for
your What are your favorite done. Blogs? Yeah. Yeah.
What are your favorite blogs? Or what are your favorite business blogs? Yeah. Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah.
So let's say I found out that my customer reads blogs. Let's say that it's either timely or not, but I think I have a point of view.
Yeah.
What do I do next, right? How do I get started with this? What's the right strategy, frequency, long posts, short posts? What do I do?
I'm going to give a tactic I gave a seasoned founder recently. Like, and he didn't know about content. They did amazing with content at his company, but it was like a one-trick pony type of content. Like, they just got good at it and they got lazy because it just worked so well. He even told me that. He's like, dude, we don't know how to do it like you do because, like, it worked, but it was one thing we did, right? It's just very rare circumstance, but they just found one thing and that was all they did. So he never developed a strong brand through the content. Mm-hmm. He just was able to get it out and that got them signups.
Yeah.
And he was saying that got, like, 75% of the signups that one strategy. Amazing stuff. Yeah. Not going to share until he lets me. But anyways, but basically, I was talking to him and the thesis I had, and I've developed this now because of that discussion yesterday, but basically, all you're trying to do, regardless of the stage of your company with content, like the primary goal, and again, you have to build brand and get traffic, but the primary goal is get signups, get leads.
Yeah.
Early on, leads are conversations. Later on, leads are actual leads that are going to use your software. What's the difference? Nothing. Right? It's the same tactic. They need to come sign up for something. So I don't think the difference isn't that big.
Yeah.
So if you really want to accelerate your whole business, I would start thinking about it like that from day one. So in the beginning, like my friend doing the 3D printing or our ex-product manager, he was trying to build affinity and it worked where it's like, just get on the email list, I'll update you about 3D printing. For you, it might be like you're writing about a problem you think people have and you're just exploring it a little bit in the blog post and you're like, do you have this problem? Email me. Do you have this problem? Fill out this application because I'd love to talk to you about it. Or tell me more about your business because I'd love to talk to you about it. I'm either an expert, I'm exploring it, or I'm sure the conversation. Figure out the value you can add and just start talking to people on the phone, right? Get that far, right? After they fill out a survey or something. Or get their email address so you can keep emailing them. But when you think about it, you're just writing content and trying to get a conversion on it. So what I'm trying to say is, in the long run, signups are like that, right? So in the long run, what's the problem you're going to have? And because this was a seasoned founder I was talking to, he nailed it. And I didn't have to ask him anything, so I'm going to copy and paste what he said. But he's basically like, if I start doing content marketing, he's very early in his business. He has some product now, but it's very early. If I start doing content marketing, how do I make sure I only talk to the qualified people? He just like, and I'm like, yeah, that's good. All right, so you're already there, right? And this is early on. Yeah. It's like, yeah, some people are qualified, some people are not. So my direct step-by-step process is write blog content, get people to fill out a few things for a purpose. So the one advice I gave him is get people to apply for a 20-minute consultation with you on this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to apply.
Yeah.
So these questions they ask or these things you ask them are related to knowing if it's worth talking to them for you. That's your qualifier. Doesn't that sound like sales? Doesn't that sound like a lead gen form?
Yeah.
It's exactly what you're doing early on. It's the same shit, right? Yeah. Just different purpose, right? Yeah. Your purpose is exploration, learning, not sales.
Yeah.
So then that form, and then the people who you don't want to talk to, you send them a very nice email, hopefully give them some tips, some custom stuff, show them some old blog posts, and ask them if they want to be in the email list if they're not already on it, right? That's great. And then the ones that are qualified, go have your conversations with them and start doing your customer development so you can build your product, right, and learn what to do. But tactically, that system, it'll work for almost any business. You just got to figure out what that value is. And that's the contextual thing. Is it a 20-minute consultation that your audience wants? Is it just an email list? And then you go kind of qualify. But like, if you've already got an idea, if you're far enough along where you know what your product's going to do, you know the market, you can go more for the lead gen 20-minute call. Because then you might have some expertise they want to hear about, right? But if you don't have that, then you might just need to opt people into an email list and just keep emailing them and have that journey as you were talking about. So there's a lot of strategies, but at the end of the day, you need to get a conversion on every single blog post you do, and it has to be a deliberate thing you make people do. That's my biggest piece of advice early on. Because if you get good at that, then you're going to be able to use that long term too, all over and over and over again for like 10 years in your business, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah. All right, so let me switch tracks slightly. And that is... All right, so we have all that. We know there's an audience. The audience reads. We know we have a voice, and we've set it up in a way where we care about conversion. We do that well. How do I get somebody to read? Like, if a blog post, you know, falls in a forest, nobody's around, did it ever happen? So, how do I drive traffic to something if I don't have a brand yet? How do I get started?
My gut response is brute force. Right, yeah. Which is like people are commonly used to. I am used to people emailing me their links. Hey, here, I wrote this. Cool. I mean, I also share links a lot, yeah. Right? But there's a bunch of us that share links a lot. Just email us, right? Like if it's startup related stuff, or email people in your industry that you already know. If you don't know them, cold email them. Just add value, right? Yeah. Like I read this. Oh, I think you'll find this interesting too. You know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's all out there,
yeah.
Right? So that's honestly that brute force of just like, I'm going to manually get one person to read it. You know, you'd love this stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's like, Stelly would probably tell you, set some goals, right? Get like 10 people to read it, yeah, every day, right? That you got to read it, right?
Yeah.
And then you'll just build the audience, right?
Yeah.
So I would say brute force like that. If you know people who have a lot of followers in your, you know, that could tweet it, and you think you're going to get some readers and stuff, try that. All the aggregators are useful. Honestly, something as simple just posting it on Facebook, because many human beings are on Facebook, will already get you pretty far.
Yeah.
Right? And especially if you have just even some friends, right?
I love it. I would summarize all this as hustle, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know how I feel about the word.
Yes. But then I'll add something to this that I think is important, which is if you're getting into blogging, you're essentially trying to build an audience. And building an audience in most cases is not an overnight process. There's no, of course, you could write something that kind of, you know, picks up and is shared and just becomes this viral thing. But if you don't already have that skill and have done it multiple times, it's like, it takes a very long while. And for the untrained person, it's like playing the lottery. Like you won't think of, more likely than not, you won't think of a brilliant thing that will go viral. So don't waste your time on that.
Just keep writing.
Yes.
And you'll learn.
This is my key point here, which is, it takes time.
Yeah.
You need patience. If you start with a blog and then, you know, a month into it, you're like, well, we're only getting, you know, 50 uniques per post. This shit isn't working. Then
hustle harder?
Yeah. Well,
come on.
That's one thing. But the other thing is like your expectation might just be nuts. Like a lot of times when I talk to people that just starting their blog, they're like, how can I get to, you know, 100,000 views a month in, 3 months? I don't fucking know. Like, I don't know. But I also don't think to me, if you start with that approach, you're probably not going to get there.
And we're very good at it, and we still take 3 to 6 months new thing.
It takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Especially when we have nothing else. Like,
yeah.
And we have – actually, funny enough, there's a whole challenge on
– Neil.
My co-founder is doing on our – it's part of our business, but it's like – it's called NutritionSecrets.com, and he's doing a challenge to $100,000 a month in revenue, and that's obviously going to come from traffic, and it's totally out of our comfort zone because we always – target a B2B audience. So he wanted to do it so that we could learn about content marketing for a B2C audience, because many of our future customers are B2C and B2B, right? So yeah, 3 to 6 months. I mean, three is like if the wind's behind your back, which is in luck. Otherwise, six.
Yeah.
Six, I can do it.
Yeah.
Most people a year. It's hard stuff.
It takes time. It does take time.
You don't need that many numbers if you take the approach of always trying to convert.
And you get qualify. Right.
You don't need the numbers. And you can worry about numbers later. I mean, numbers are important. Traffic's important because it builds brand. But initially, you just have a single goal. I need to figure out what to build. Right.
Yeah.
I need to do customer development. I need to learn from my early potential customers. And from there, you build a product. Right. And then you use the same systems to get people for your product. It's great if you can build that content muscle early and just keep making it better and better over time. I mean, that's how many of us have built our businesses.
Which points to the second thing when it comes to blogging in my mind, which is consistency. Like I do believe that you need a certain level of quantity over a consistent amount of time to get good at it, no matter how talented you are.
Yes, set a target of at least one a week in the beginning. At least one. If you can do it, do three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? If I sense that someone will write or if they've written before or they just feel comfortable, a little more comfortable, I try to push them to five.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. 1 to 3 minimum. But like if you wrote every day, think about how fast you'll get good at it.
Yeah. That's it.
This is simple, right? I know it takes time and all that. I get it. I write a lot, but like, come on.
But this is the type.
That's what it takes.
This is a strategy where you can't. There's pros and cons, right? The con is that you can't necessarily overnight just get massive reach all at once. But the pro is that once you've built reach, it doesn't disappear. It kind of compounds over time. You get just more and more and more because the traffic that you got for the first post might still get you a little bit of traffic in a year later. Yeah. So if you publish regularly, it compounds. That content compounds, your brand compounds. And eventually you could stop publishing. You would still for a long time, it would wait at some point, but for a long time you'd still get traffic. Versus if you go with paid acquisition, you might be able to get to tons of people immediately, but you stop spending that money, you stop getting any traffic.
Totally right.
So you need to think very long term and you need to be okay with thinking compounding. Like we're going to build this, do this very frequently.
Well, it does compound for one simple reason, which is called search.
Yeah.
Right? Like when you write, Google finds you. And if it's good shit, Google will keep finding you for it and they'll keep pointing people to it and it compounds. It really does. That's why a lot of sites get a lot of traffic from Google, not for their new stuff, but for all their archives. Yet another reason to write five a week.
Five a week. Yeah. I mean, and we talked about this earlier. Like we never cared about SEO. We've never thought about it for a minute.
Traffic on the blog from SEO?
We get a lot of traffic from SEO.